And then we have the, we should remember that prayers is not an ordinary subject. We have 4,500 plus rulings in our Sharia, only about the chapter of, in the chapter of prayers. The Dasul Kharij, the highest level of teaching in our Hausa education system, is it takes about approximately 9 years, sometimes even more than 9 years. Depends on which mujtahid you are learning from, because the duration of Dasul Kharij, which is the highest level of our learning system in Hausa, it depends entirely on the mujtahid you select. So it's approximately 9 years to finish the details of the chapter of Salah, and then we have, you know, 200 plus chapters in the Sharia. So you must remember that there's no way we can cover all the issues of the prayers in just few hours. It simply is impossible. You know, it takes 9 years to study the Zuharif in the Hawza of Hope. There's a lot more to learn about prayers. We're just talking about some mainstream things only, and that's the only thing we can focus on a few hours. We can obviously not talk about all the things. The Aqsam and kind of Salat are, how much time do we have in the first session, the name? How much time do we have in the first session?
Up to
12:45. 12:45, okay. Yeah. Aqsam al-Salat is the kinds of prayers. We are talking about here the wajib prayers only. The mustahab prayers are abundant. There's a huge list of that. We are just focusing on the wajib prayers. So, yawmiyah, the 5-time daily prayers that we pray every day. Then we have the qada al-walid, the qada prayers of your father, which is wajib on the eldest son only, not the middle or the younger sons or the elder daughter or the middle or the younger daughters. It's not wajib on the eldest daughter or other sons and daughters. It's only wajib on the eldest son. That's the qada, the qada prayers of the father, the walid. That's wajib. So Salatul Ayat, the signs that we see sometimes appearing from around us in this world, we have the Salatul Ayat that we pray every now and then, you know, earthquake and solar and lunar eclipses and all those other reasons. Salatul Tawaf, whenever you do the rotations around Kaaba, which is mustahab, whenever you go and visit the Holy Kaaba, the adab of the Masjid al-Haram. Like we enter into a mosque, we pray Salatul Hadiyat al-Masjid. We pray 2 rakats of prayers of the Hadiyah and give to that masjid. That's the etiquette that Islam has taught us. But when we enter into every mosque, when you enter into the Masjid al-Haram, which is the holiest and the highest of all the mosques, we do the tawaf. This is mustahab. So after Salatul Tawaf, it is mustahab to do also 2 rakats, you have to do 2 rakats of prayers at the Maqam of Ibrahim. But in the occasion of Hajj, when you're doing the wajib Hajj, or you have the, because you were capable of the mustati, or you did nazar, whatever, in that occasion, the Salatul Tawaf becomes wajib on you. So this is also one of those wajib prayers. Number 5 is the Salatul Mayyit, that we pray on the dead person. This is also wajib to pray on the dead person. Salatul Nazr and Ahad and Qasam. If you do the Nazr, we frequently use the word Nazr. We should remember that the Islamic way of doing the Nazr is not just we say that I do the Nazr. This is not the way of doing it. Or I did my Nazr, I do this and this and this. If my child gets cure and shifa from his illness, you know, I do this. You know. This is not the way the Nazr is called Shari Nazr, and it would not become wajib on you. Shari, nazar shari has a siga. It's an Arab. It has an Arabic formula. Lillahi alayhi al-khalaqaba. We have to read the Arabic formula for or its exact translation in your own language, and then it becomes wajib on you to fulfill your nazar. So if you did another for praying, it becomes wajib. Likewise, Salatul Ahad, covenant, Ahad to Allah, whatever, Salat al-Qasam, you swear that you would pray, you know, and so it will become compulsory upon you and wajib upon you to do so. So these are only the six wajib prayers. You may find a different count in some other books of fiqh, mentioning like eight, you know, because they may count these to be seven and eight. Some mujtahids combine these three together as one count. The count may be different, depending, but these, basically these are the ones, that's it. So, and then the yawmiyya, which we are talking about, the five times daily prayers, 17 rakats are wajib. And of course, two belong to the Fajr, four for Dhuhr and four for Asr, three for Maghrib and four for Isha. You all know that. 34 rakats are the mustahab ones that we pray. We are supposed to pray as much as we can. Two rakats before the Fajr, eight rakats before the Dhuhr, and eight before the Asr also. We pray two rakats, just like the Fajr prayers, but in total we pray eight. And then we have four rakats after the Maghrib and two rakats after Isha. It's actually a one rakat prayer, which is mustahab and nafila of Isha, and we call it Mutaira in Arabic. We pray two rakats because we are sitting. When you pray the mustahab standing in the sitting position, mustahab standing prayers in the sitting position, that's how we make it double in six rakats. So we pray two rakats of Isha, nafila, because we are in the sitting position. What is with, has more sawab, is recommended to pray in the sitting position. And that's why we do that, and that's why we make it double, otherwise it's just one. So, and then of course the Salatul Layl, the night prayers, which is 11 rakats. Mustahab prayers are considered to be better in Islam and superior in Islam than the wajib prayers, because of maybe one of the very obvious etymology reasons. Because you are doing more than what you are expected to do. This is not wajib on you to do. You are going the extra mile. You are doing something more than what you are obliged. If you do something more than what you are obliged, then you deserve further praise. So mustahabat gives us more nuraniyat. Another hikmat which is mentioned in the hadith of Prophet and Amr Bayt for the mustahab prayers, nawafil, is that if you pray the nawafil, if there is a shortcoming in your wajib prayers, that shortcoming and naqs is fulfilled. If you pray the nawafil, the nafila will compensate jubran. It will compensate for the naqs and deficiency that may be available in your wajib prayers. So, the most superior of all the mustahab prayers is, of course, Salatul Layl, which is wajib on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, but it is mustahab on us. There are no differences in Islam. All the wajibat of the Sharia apply on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, just like it applies on us, each and every single one among us, who are baligh, Islamically mature. But there are certain things which are extra on their neck. And night prayers, Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab, is wajib on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. It is not wajib on us, it is mustahabun muhakkad, a lot of ta'eed, you know, but it's not wajib. Prophet has said that two rakats in the middle of the night are more beloved in my eyes than the whole world, than all what is in it. The whole world can be nothing. So what is the whole world? Well, at the end of the day, it's going to be destroyed. We should remember that. Everything in the world is temporary. So, in Allah khalqa, look at what Imam Ali wrote in his letter to Muawiyah. Amma ba'd, fa'in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has khalqa dunya lima ba'daha. Allah created this dunya for the state which is after it. Wa ja'ala biha ahlaha liyubtala biha. And created the people in it so that they would be tested and examined. So, basically, this dunya is a prelude. We need to do everything in this dunya for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, focused on the akhirah, not focused on this dunya. You know, even the hadith says that shibrum min al-jannah, you know, one hand span of paradise. Imam Salih has said, khairun الدنيا وفيها. One hand span of paradise is better. He didn't say of $1 million. That somebody would say, well, okay, what if I have $1 million? So then these laws of Allah doesn't apply. No, it's not a matter of million or $1 billion. It's a matter of the whole world. Prophet said the whole world and all what is in it. You, if you have 2 rakats of prayers in the middle of the night, you have that much nur and divine light in your qalb, which makes you superior than everything available in this world. Every material blessing of God available in this world. And you would be glittering. And, you know, these kind of people who have nur in their qalb are glittering like stars glitter. For us, when we look up at the sky, these people are glittering for the malaika and angels who can only, just like the computer, which can only recognize 0 and 1. It doesn't know anything else. Similarly, the malaika recognize nothing but nur and zulmat. So they can, all they can see is nur. Well, they themselves have nothing but nur in them. So if you have nur, they can recognize you and see you. If you don't have nur, there may be billions and billions of humans living on earth, but malaika don't recognize them because all of their souls are dark and zulmani. So when they look at earth, all they can recognize, where does the nur is coming from? And those people who are glittering the nur, they are shining like stars, signs for us. Wajib is an act which means that it has maslahatun shadida, severe importance hidden behind that wajib. That's the reason Allah, who is all wise and more sincere and more loving towards us than our parents, has made that thing wajib and an obligation on our neck, because He loves us. Because He knows there's a wisdom involved. But we may know it, we may never end up knowing it. And we cannot even blame on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. How can I blame on them? Maybe they also, they taught us. Because some people say, you have to tell us what is the wisdom behind it. Well, it's a very good, you know, it's very good to learn. There's nothing bad in learning the knowledge and the wisdom, but we are not supposed to say that I'm not going to follow unless you tell me the wisdom. Why? As long as this ruling has been proven by the fatwas of our great mujtahids, may Allah protect all of them. As long as the ruling is proven by the authentic hadith of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, as long as the ruling is supported by the Holy Quran, you have to follow whether you understand the wisdom or you don't. And we cannot say that they did not inform us, because maybe they did. But we, our history, our glorious Shia history, like many Rabbah Allah used to say, that our history is like a red line. The Shia history is like a red line. All the great shuhada and martyrs that we had, and those who sacrificed their blood, and because of sacrificing their blood, they lit up this religion and deen as a candle, which is being, you know, which is being lit with the blood of the shuhada. That they kept the candle alive. They kept the religion glorious and illuminating and shining and bright alive. They kept us with. They kept the religion alive. So basically, our history is full of sacrifices and turmoils and crises. Our books were burned, our libraries were burned by the enemies. So maybe the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt also told us the wisdoms. It didn't reach us. So we as Mu'min don't have the right to say, I'm not going to follow unless you tell me the wisdom. This is not the way a Mu'min should behave. We should have trust. As long as it comes from the trusted source, it has to be relied upon. So we believe that a wajib in our usul al-fiqh, the laws of Islamic jurisprudence, it means that something which has maslahatun shadida, severe importance hidden behind it. We may know it, we may not know it. We may understand it, we may not be eligible enough to understand, because the mental and intellectual levels of humans are different. And the ruling that wajib means that you have to do it. If you do, you get rewarded as well. But if you don't, you're not punished. No. We get rewarded for all the wajibat. Yes. And we get rewarded for abstaining from all the harams. Yes. But my teacher, Ayatullah al-Ulama Sheikh Jawad Tabrizi, rahmatullah alayh, I learned my Kharij from him for 4.5 years. So, he was saying in one of his lessons, he passed away a few months ago, may Allah's rahmat be upon him. He was saying in one of his lessons that Allah is not obliged to give any reward for us for doing a wajib or abstaining from any haram. Because if we do a wajib, is it a favor for Allah? Does he stand in need of our wajibat? Does he stand in need of our prayers and fasting and hajj? If we don't, there's something deficient and naqis in him. Allah's salat, he doesn't stand in need of anything. There's nothing naqs, no shortfall, no deficiency. He never performs any af'al and actions to get the deficiency fulfilled. He's not like us. We humans, when we do an action, we want to reach a goal and fulfill the deficiency that we have. His actions are not for that reason. So Allah, when we do a wajib, we are serving our own spirituality. We're not doing anything for God. We're doing it qurbatan ila Allah, but it's not benefiting God. We are benefiting our own souls. If we abstain from haram, we are not benefiting God. We are benefiting our own souls. You know? So like in Farsi they say, Harche kuni, bekudit kuni, gerche kumubat kuni. So basically, he said, yes, Allah is not obliged if we do all the wajibs and if we abstain from all the haram, and He is not obliged to give us any reward. But He will give the reward. Why? Because He has promised. He is obliged to give the reward now because He has Himself voluntarily promised us to give the reward. Not because we did the wajibat. We did the wajibat, that's for our own sake. You know, we are benefiting our own selves if we do it for the sake of Allah. So He will certainly give us the reward. Why? Because He promised in Allah and in Allah la yukhlifu mi'ad. Allah never breaches His promises. That's why He will give us the reward. Not because I deserve the reward, because I prayed, so I deserve the reward. If I prayed, I benefit my own soul. I did not benefit God. Even if the whole world says we don't believe in God, so what? And there will be no harm received by Allah at His end. There is no harm. He doesn't receive it. We are harming our own selves if we do that. Whereas a mustahab thing means that an act which has a mustahab, a wisdom behind it, but the mustahab is that shadeeda, it is of a lower and lesser level of importance. It has a level of importance, but not as high. If it had as high level, Allah's absolute wisdom would have dictated that this was wajib for us. So, but He did not say wajib. His wisdom is absolute. So there is an importance level, but it's not as high. So the ruling says if you are not obliged to do a mustahab and recommended act, but Allah likes it. So if you do that, He rewards you. If you don't, you are still not punished because you did not leave something which was you were obliged to do. Now, types of wajib are important to remember. I have discussed these points for some of you in the fiqh classes. For those of you brothers and sisters who have been attending the fiqh classes, you are already familiar. But since we are talking about wajib and its classification of wajib about the prayers, and there are some brothers and sisters among you who were not there, so I feel it's important to say that. I apologize from those brothers and sisters who already know this fact, but you know it's important to mention that in the prayers now that we are discussing the wajib. There are several types of wajib in usul al-fiqh in the laws of Islamic jurisprudence. One classification of wajib is divided into either ayni or kifahi. Every wajib in the Sharia is either ayni or kifahi. Ayni means it's applicable on everybody, and everybody has to do it on his own, and doing of Mr. A is not sufficient for the rest. The rest have to do on their own also. Whereas wajib al-kifahi is a wajib that if someone or a sufficient number of people required to do the job, they perform it, it's no longer wajib on the rest. The examples are wajib al-ayni, like prayers. Wajib al-ayni. We are not like those people who say, you know, well, you give this much center to your community center and your prayers get forgiven. You can just send that to your community and your fasting gets forgiven. Or you don't have to go for it. No, Islam doesn't have those kind of things. When Islam says it's wajib on you to pray, you have to pray. Your money will not replace the wajib from and not take the wajib away from your neck. Wajib ayni, that means a wajib which is applicable on every person and he has to do it or she has to do it on his or her own. And doing of some other people doesn't suffice for him. Whereas wajib kifayi is like namaz mayyit, you know, salat mayyit and takfeen and tajheez and tahseel and tahmeed and tasliyah and salat and takfeen. All the things that we do for a dead person, that means washing the body and providing the ghusl, the three washings in Islamic specific way. And of course the hunut, tahmeed, we call it, providing the hunut to the dead body. And of course takfeen, that means wrapping his body in that specific way, providing the kafan. It's not wajib on the community to provide the kafan to the dead person, but it is wajib on the community to do the takfeen. There's a difference between kafan and takfeen. Kafan is the dead cloth. It's not wajib on me and you to provide the cloth for everybody who is dying there. It was wajib on himself to arrange for his kafan in his long lifetime. A mu'min never sleeps until he has his wasiyat under his pillow. That's the sign of a mu'min. You need to have, a mu'min must have as much money available with him in his pocket that suffices for his own kafan. Or he has his own kafan with him, carrying all the land with him. One of the two. Because if I die, which I can die any time, why should I oblige the rest of the people to bear the burden of my kafan? That's not what Islam is asking us, the people to do. Islam is asking them to do the takfeen, wrapping the kafan in the body. Not kafan, not that cloth itself, that you have to arrange for yourself in your lifetime, or you keep the money in your pocket. So don't put the burden on others. So what you are talking about is wajib kifayi means, you know, providing that ghusl and hanut, tahmeed and takfeen and you know, prayers and you know, all that, and burial, takfeen of the dead person. So this is wajib kifayi. Let's suppose a person passes away in Seattle and 500 people hear the news that this Muslim passed away. Now it's wajib on 500 people to go and perform the job. If wajib is applicable equally to all the people. Now among those 500, five people take the lead. They want to do this mustahab and recommend this wajib act, and they take the lead on the rest of the 495, and it is five people go and they do the job, and the job is done. The job required five people, and these five went there and they did the job. So that's fine. It's now that the job is done, no longer wajib. It's no longer wajib on the rest of the 495 people. It was wajib initially on all equally, but now that five, the number of people required to do the job, they did it, now it is no longer wajib on the rest. Let's suppose if four people went there to do the job and they could not handle it. 496 people are sinners in the eyes of Allah. And those four are not sinners. They went there, at least they tried, but they could not handle it because the job, nature of the job requires five. And they were four. So those four are, they did the best of their service, very good. But the rest of the 496 are sinners. So wajib kifayi is that kind of wajib which is applicable. This one, wajib kifayi, is that kind of wajib which is applicable on every person equally. But if that many number of people who are required to do the job take a lead and do the job, it no longer becomes arranged wajib on the rest. Just like the jawab of salam. Jawab of salam, like we are all sitting here. If somebody enters into the hall and he says, assalamu alaikum, one of you takes the lead. You know, we should take a lead in khairat, in the good deeds. Quran has said, fastabiqul khairat. Take a sabqat. Sabqat and take a lead in the good things. And we should not say, well, let him handle it. Imam Ali al-Islam has said, if you say that, فَوَاللَّهِ يَكُونُمْ كَذَلِكَ. It will be like this. If you allow the khair to be handled by someone else, then you yourself are not ready.